like the pilgrims and like we tell the real story of Thanksgiving. I don't tell any story of Thanksgiving.
I haven't been to one Thanksgiving where anybody's told a story about Thanksgiving. Have you?
No. That's what I say when they're like, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving, but in the manner in which they're saying that, I don't know anybody that does. I've never met anyone that does.
Yeah.
I know families that get together and cook a turkey, but I don't think they're sitting there going like, you know, the pilgrims came, whatever.
Gather around. Uncle's going to tell us about the story of Thanksgiving.
If anything, it's just kind of become this.
Yeah.
Informal family reunion. I like to call Thanksgiving pre-Christmas.
Pre-Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, it's pre-Christmas. But no, I mean, I don't. That's what's it's funny. And they're like, we don't sort of decolonize Thanksgiving. I'm like, but who's sitting there doing, like, am I missing something?
Yeah, you might be. I don't know. No, I don't know. But I like it when people get uncomfortable, who they're not indigenous, they get somewhat uncomfortable around you asking you about the holiday coming up. Oh, what are you going to do for the holiday? You mean Thanksgiving? Yeah. They want to skirt around it. They don't want to say Thanksgiving.
What are you going to do for Thanksgiving? Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Thanksgiving. Yeah, we celebrate Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't know.
And any person who says they don't.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't.
The bar is pretty low to celebrate Thanksgiving. We don't take much.
Okay. Yeah. That's my point. Exactly what you're saying. It's like, I don't think people are sitting around going, gather around, kids. Let us talk about the history of Thanksgiving. I think people just kind of like throw their paper plates on the table. It's more buffet style. I know there's people sitting at the table and doing like, maybe they voice what they're thankful for at the most, like maybe that's
maybe,
like
yeah,
most.
Maybe.
But for the most part, they throw on that boring parade. Oh my God. Or then they turn on the Lions, because the Lions are always playing. Oh, no. The Lions are. So I don't know. I mean,
yeah, it's goofy.
Yeah, same thing with Christmas. I don't know anyone. It's more prevalent, but I know that most people, I think, celebrate Christmas as just kind of another get together
with
family and friends or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not sitting there telling the nativity story. Maybe that was more. I know. I mean that's a little different, because I do know people do that, you know. But
yeah.
Not in the circles I run in.
Yeah, pretty goofy. All right, so nobody's volunteering what their favorite post-Thanksgiving leftover meal is. You've told me yours: rice and turkey, and the ham. Now, this is what I like to do with the ham.
Okay.
And I haven't done it in a while, but.
You're in Canada, so your Thanksgiving's in October.
Well, yeah, we double not celebrated Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. You boycotted two different holidays.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a deliberate. It was just more being lazy, I guess. Anyway, so the ham. Double cook the ham. So it's already cooked, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like to take that ham, toss it back in the frying pan, get it a little black. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Almost like bacon, you know? Yeah. Almost like bacon. Put that in the sandwich and off you go. It's a good one, man.
Well, bacon now is referred to as Nacoa Rain.
Nacoa Rain.
I saw him today.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yeah, in Billings at that powwow that I don't know who put it on.
Yeah, yeah.
He was there. I visited Walt.
Yeah.
Friends above, both former guests.
Yeah.
I had a fella come up to me and say, "Hey, I like your podcast." So that was pretty cool.
Nice. Some random fella.
Some rando.
Rando Calrissian. Yeah.
Yeah, Rando Calrissian. Dang. What's his real name?
Lando.
Lando Calrissian. Yeah, man. Yeah,
that's cool, man.
Is Walt on the Facebook Live?
No, I haven't seen him. No.
His wife asked a very, very crucial question, and I was hoping they'd be on the live so they could just ask it themselves.
Because
I don't want to. I'll let them ask.
Yeah. It. Yeah, yeah.
Send him the link. Let's just have him on the cast.
Get him on. Yeah. Well, I don't know what he's doing. Might be busy. I don't know.
Well, I think he placed in Men's Fancy because it was just him and his son.
Well, they're probably out at Golden Corral. They got a Golden Corral in Billings still.
Not anymore.
Took the fam out to Golden Corral, got first, you know.
took them to Royal Fork. the King's Table. King's Table.
It was King's Table, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, King's Table.
Okay, we got one question here.
Oh, yeah.
From Acorn. He says, if you could choose a whole different meal than the traditional turkey stuffing, etc., what would it be?
Lasagna.
Yeah, the Thanksgiving lasagna. Why not, right?
That's what my kids and their mom did. They had lasagna.
I mean,
I like lasagna. Lasagna fun.
Lasagna's fun? I've never heard lasagna described as fun. It's like fun to make?
Oh, man.
Fun to eat?
No, dude, it's fun to eat, dude. It's like oven pizza. Oven pizza's fun to eat, man.
Cripes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I suppose. I'd go with tacos instead of turkey. Go full taco bar, you know.
Dude.
All right.
We went to a graduation reception.
All right.
And you know how Indian people, it's like the same thing at graduation or at receptions. It's like overcooked steak or whatever. And it's like short ribs, you know. Man, like the short ribs.
Yeah.
But we went to a reception last
year,
and it was like there was a taco bar.
Oh, yeah.
And it made me so happy. Like, because I was like, I'm hitting the taco bar. Like, I ain't messing around. I ain't messing around with fry bread.
No. We're not going to go through. What is it called? Oppression food? No,
dude. Not a big fry bread guy, man.
No. Every now and then.
I've said that before.
Yeah, you did. It's pretty good. because with the taco bar, you can go. I mean, you don't get, there's no limit, you know. You can pile on all the meat you want. You can, all the veggies you want. Yeah, you just go crazy on it. Love tacos.
I like the taco bar. I'd go taco bar. I think I'd go taco bar. But man, lasagna is so good, though.
Well, lasagna is sort of easy to do, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's that.
Well, do you make lasagna or do you just go buy it? Okay, yeah.
I live by myself, dude.
No, it's real easy to make then. Yeah. Yeah, Amber says, what about a chocolate fountain? Yeah, get out your old fondue set. Remember the fondue?
That might be a flathead thing.
No. I think it's a Swedish thing.
Fondue. Yeah. Man,
I still don't know what it is, but yeah,
I don't really know what it is. What, okay, the other thing is quiche. Do you quiche just quiche. Like scrambled eggs?
Yeah, it's just scrambled eggs. Yeah, yeah. I mean, as far as I know. It's like an omelet in a carton. I mean, that's, you can get it in a carton, I guess. Quiche in a carton. Yeah, it's an omelet, thick omelet, I suppose. Yeah. Anyway, let's give a little preview about what we're going to talk about, and then let's get to it, man.
Hey, so what are we going to talk about?
I don't know. I was hoping you had something.
Well, I was saying we should talk about that potential public publishing thing. We should put some pressure on that, but you don't actually want to talk about research.
I don't.
Yeah, that's what Cassie said. Walt's wife runs above.
Yeah.
She said, you know, you guys talk about research and stuff. And then I said, sometimes. Maybe. She's like, yeah, I mean, not really. Like, we kind of had this weird moment where we're like, yeah, we don't really talk about research all that much. I'm proposing, let me read it to you.
Okay. Well, we do, but we talk about it in a different way.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For sure.
There was a call for papers for Indigenous archaeology.
Okay.
The theme is reclaiming, reviving, and rewriting Indigenous histories.
This thing with R's, ain't it?
Yeah. And its abstracts are due by January 30th. Decision will be announced by April. Final submission in July. If anyone knows anything about this, the publishing world, it takes a long time. Like it's not quick. It's me personally, it's not the best way to get your content out there for like what we do. Right. I actually think our podcast probably does more than most journal articles, but we propose a lot of ideas. We've yet to put together outside of that, my little part in that grant or the grant submission and stuff, we've yet to like put something down as what we are as tribal research specialists. We've individually both have published, but I think it'd just be fun. It'd be fun because personally, dude, reclaiming, reviving, and rewriting Indigenous histories.
Yeah,
that's
sort of what we're trying to do for
it's cakewalk for us. And we talk a lot of smack about research. We talk a lot of smack. Well, I do about academics, and we've mentioned pitfalls and shortcomings, but yet
we bash on some things. Yeah, we bash on some things strategically. But yeah, it's just like the episode about the conference. You know, we built up this all these ideas that we might want to do, and then in the end of the episode, we said, "Well, that kind of sounds like a lot of work." Maybe not.
I prefer to just sit around and talk shit, you know.
I prefer to go to the standard conference and witness all this over and over again. No, but you're right. We ought to. If I was sitting back and listening. And I was on the end of, I don't know, like if I was the one doing the things that we're sort of clowning on, I would put a challenge out there and say, well, let's see what you got then. Because we're writing these papers best we can. And then we got these two clowns and whoever they guessed, you know, knocking on what we're doing. Well, show us what you got then. But I think this podcast is sort of it feels like an authentic way to disseminate our thoughts. It's not in writing and it's not in a journal article.
People could cite the podcast.
They can. Yeah. There's a,
which I cite. I think that's been done.
We've been cited in two papers, not officially cited, but we've been mentioned in a dissertation and a journal article. Yeah. But not officially cited. Because I don't think people know how to cite podcasts. appropriately.
They're just not creative, you know.
Well, I mean, you can look it up. There's an approved method to citing podcast. Yeah.
That's dumb.
Yeah, that's dumb. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's weird to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's another thing that I've said for a long time. And yeah. I think we've even talked about this style guy.
Yeah.
So like you look at the way you do your work, whether it's in MLA or Chicago or whatever, right?
Yeah.
We've never developed a style guide for tribal researchers, but see, this is my issue with indigenous research method. And this is like a legitimate
methodology issue. You mean?
Methodology, yep.
Okay.
It hasn't produced anything.
Well, I mean, some people would argue that no, you're wrong. It has.
Well, I want them to come on the show because they haven't produced anything more than just the acknowledgement that indigenous research method is different, methodology is different. But yet, a product. Where's the product? Where's the format style? Where's the style guide? Where's a tested way of using this research method?
Yeah.
Like, where's this tested? Yeah, yeah. I know.
And that feels authentic.
That feels authentic. That's not like dream catchers. Nothing against dream catchers. But like, that's not this kind of hokey, romanticized version of us.
Yeah.
Like, not this like, what did you say to me earlier? I won't say where you got this from, but.
What did I say?
In some native languages, the term for plants translates to those who take care of us.
Yeah. Which one? Which language? Because if it does say that, I want to know. That'd be cool to know.
That'd be cool to know. And that's just
it's pretty mysterious.
I mean, yeah, I could say that. I could say that. It's like maybe the nuance of saying, show me those five languages or show me those 20 languages. Let's break down the words.
Yeah.
Let's say, what do they mean? What does that mean? That's cool to read.
That's interesting.
It's, I just kind of don't like, well, like this, we should write a paper called Offer Tobacco, because everyone thinks that's what you do for everything. Offer tobacco. Now it's Indian. I'm going to write a research paper. Before I do that, I'm going to offer tobacco.
It's then like, it's, oh my you made God. The, you made yeah. the, you made the native category by offering tobacco. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Offered tobacco. And it's like, do you even know what that is? Not everyone does it. It's not a necessity. You can do a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it's like, but then why are you doing it? What's the question you're asking? What's the thing?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
How does it map back to the question?
I'm on one.
All right. This is it. I want you to listen to this song here. I just grabbed some random one here. All right, here it comes. Coming at you. Ah, cripes. I closed it down. What a dummy. Oh, this is making me mad. I was struggling with this just a bit ago.
Get mad.
It's making me mad.
Get mad.
I was so mad. Where'd it go now? Here it comes.
Okay.
Here it comes. Get it on the high fidelity. Boom. Here it comes. Yeah. Oh, Yeah. Yeah, that's some powwow, I guess, in Chicago. It all says a Chicago powwow. So I looked this up a little bit. Yeah, pretty standard song. It sounds familiar. Yeah, sounds familiar. Chicago powwow, 1987. It kind of had the 87 sound, you know? 80s sound. But I guess there's a native organization in Chicago, urban organization, puts on powwow, or used to. I don't know if they still do. I'd be curious if they still do.
Interesting.
This is, yeah.
And was this one of your dad's tapes?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where. I don't think he went there, or I could be wrong. Maybe he did. I don't know. But 87? I'm not sure.
1987.
The year 1987. Yes.
Wow. It's a cool tune. Like you say, it's pretty standard, but like I like them songs that are like that.
Yeah. 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 Easy to sing.
Easy to sing.
Yeah. Sound nice. You can kind of play around with them with the beat and the speed. You can make them do many number of things. That's what I like about the simple song. Some are cast. Oh, yeah.
Many number of stuffs.
Many lots of stuff. Yeah.
Many, many lots of stuffs.
Yes.
Stuffs. Those songs, they're always almost good sometimes.
Yeah. I almost didn't know it.
But I did. I almost didn't know it, but then I remembered.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the deal.
Yeah.
We've been ranting and raving for 50 episodes about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't really produced a whole lot besides some ideas, some
fodder,
some criticism. Yeah. Fodder. But, I don't know. You think do you think it's worth putting anything that we say and our thoughts into writing? Because I've tried this before. But I don't know what your thoughts are.
Mm-hmm.
Put these things into writing, commit them to something that we can cast out into the world on top of our broadcasting of this podcast.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I mean, so I think it's worth it. But I would say this, and I would caution us against this, to assume that we can produce an academic paper in the same manner in which we're talking right now would be tough. But yeah. I think we can get close to it. And I think that's the point we're trying to make. Like, we can be academic. Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Sure. Just thesaurus some words. And
I mean,
find some synonyms.
And then we'll just put it out. But I think, the paper, if we were to produce a paper together, I actually think the paper would, in a weird way, would be kind of like our mission. That's all it is.
Yeah.
This is what we're striving to do.
Yeah.
Here's our examples of how we're doing it.
Yeah.
And the results it's yielding. I don't think we need to get excited and be like, let's try to like outscience these guys. Like,
Yeah. We don't want to do that.
Oh, no, maybe we do. You can. Well, you're pretty good. You're pretty.
No, I mean, I'm not into that either. But so this is my experience.
You say though. Epistemology.
I epistemologied them off.
Yeah. Oh no! Don't do that.
I said it. Okay. No, this is my hang up though when it comes to some of these things is number one, I find out how difficult it is to compress thoughts into a certain word count, which is the nature of these type of articles. So the next medium would be then, well, you just kind of got to write a book, or you got to volunteer to write a chapter about a whole number of things. That's difficult too. Number two, I find myself not being able to quite capture the flow of thought that we have verbally into written form. Something gets lost there. And I've read a lot of things where I seem like I can detect that, like somebody's really onto something, you know, they're really mm-hmm. writing about something that feels deep, and then mm-hmm. it gets lost somewhere, and then it becomes sort of a function, or like a functional piece, rather than this kind of piece that's someone's really trying hard to build this logical thought, and it becomes lost. And I don't know why that happens, but it's just writing doesn't follow the medium of talking.
It's no matter what you do.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably some people that might argue with us on this, saying that you can, but
yeah, for sure. And they should argue. Yeah.
And I don't think it's like I said, I don't think we can't, it's just, it's not going to be the same.
Yeah.
And you're right. I've read papers where I'm like, oh, this is cool, they're onto something, and then boom, it's like, it can't, like, it's almost like the paper can't sustain it. Like, just the nature of the way writing things down.
It
can't sustain that. It's hard to. I've seen people get really close, and I'm not saying I've ever achieved it.
Right.
But
right.
I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to just produce something like that's the same as it's always been, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be boring. Well, so this is some of the speed bumps I run into, and tell me if you have the same experience. So I'm reading some indigenous scholarship, and you're going to get thrown at you many different number of terminologies. And some of these terminologies feel unresolved to me. And this is where my speed bumps run into. So when I read the word, anything about when somebody mentions agency, I pause. Yeah. I think, well, wait a minute. What is that? What do they mean by agency? Especially, mm-hmm. we've talked about this, like personhood for non-human things, like the land has agency. And I think, well, but not in the same way we think of agency. I don't think, and I don't even know, you know, I get hung up there, and I think, well, this needs definition. This needs more definition, and the scholarship out there that's available to define that better is pretty surface. It's just surface level. Like there's no evidence in indigenous, like in an indigenous way that says that, okay, I get what agency is, because here's some very concrete examples. It's all very surface stuff. And so you probably can imagine some other words that come up that also cause these road bumps, those roadblocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, which one? Like, tell me. I'll see. I got a list right here. I'm gonna see if you get them.
I'm not gonna just read the
list. No, dude. I want to see if you know them. I'm gonna see if you're thinking of the same ones.
The roadblocks for agency?
No. Any terminology that feels unresolved or undefined from an indigenous viewpoint in scholarship today. Agency is one of them.
Agency, sacred.
Yeah, sacred. What does that mean? Yeah, there you go. When I read that, I'd stop and pause. I wasn't on my list, but yeah, sacred. What else?
Decolonize.
Oh my God. Yeah. Decolonize. Yeah. What is it? What does it look like? Okay.
Yep. Resilience.
Yep. That's one on the list. I just generated a quick list. Yeah.
Man.
Wealth. Wealth is one that always hangs me up. Yeah.
Well,
success is another one.
Ooh.
As you're thinking. Yeah, success. It's another one.
Yuck.
Because these terms get thrown around very loosely, right? In order for indigenous people to achieve success, this, and this. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Indigenous people that's a huge group. Even if you're talking about Native Americans' success, mm-hmm. there's a huge group, man. And those,
you know, you're,
yeah,
go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and in those groups, you can divide those groups up into smaller units. And even in those smaller units, you're going to have some stratification in there where this term might mean different things. Okay, go.
Yeah. One of the things too, like, that's a good example of like how we measure success.
Yeah.
It's hard for Native researchers to admit that the way we view success, wealth, any of these things that we talk about in research.
Yeah.
It's hard for us to admit that our viewpoint is very Christian.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's concepts that we bring up that are, that scare us in a way. There's an apprehension to saying the counter. So like a good example today when I was visiting with Cassie was, we were talking about how the idea of elders, the idea like, so we view elders as kind of being the pinnacle of knowledge.
Yeah.
But really, we view, like, if I, as a Crow Indian person, want to bring somebody in to pray for my children or to ask for good things for my children, the first on my list is not elders.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, it varies, right? So like, like my son's going to wrestle this year, right? They already started practicing. I would go to somebody that had found success in that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I would go to that person. I would offer them a meal. I would give them some gifts. I would ask them to make wishes for my son. And I'd be specific saying, we're asking you because of this. You found success in the same thing that he's trying to achieve.
Yeah.
So that also means that's not an age thing. Mm-mm. That could even be somebody 1 year older than him.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, it could be somebody who's 80 years older than him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not just simply like go to the elders, that concept of going to the elders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Native belief is go to the successful.
Yeah.
And really the way we view that is the testing of luck. So that also means, what do you possess? And that's where that's the clash, right? Because people say it shouldn't be about possessions. It shouldn't. Yeah. But it is a little bit.
Yeah.
If we're staying true to the native belief.
Yeah.
How we view successful people is the things they own, the rights they possess.
Yeah.
And the position and status they hold in communities. Yeah. That's definitely a thing, man. That's where it gets sketchy, right? So when I read these papers that are talking about whether it's academic success, research success, even just gauging things like that, knowledge, wealth, all this, it's all predicated on academics. It's not a native belief. Yeah. And it really in lines with the Christian point of view of success, which is blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, right? Give your a tithe, right? Like you give, like it's like you got to be poor and suffering, which that's counter to even beliefs of tribal people in our region, which is like war deed, how your children are dressed.
Yeah.
Your children look good, and you like you dance, and your kids dance, and your wife dances. And I know Salisha gauges some of her success as a wife and as a mother based on the appearance of her children.
Right.
Look, when they go out and dance, they look good, and she's got that typical native traditional viewpoint, which is, let's fix your hair. We can't have you looking shaggy because they're going to say, look, your mom doesn't take care of you. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they gauge success on that. So appearance, appearance, possession, right?
Yeah.
These are all part of being successful. And that's hard for people to accept. And I know that's not totally what the academic view of success is and how it's used in research, but it's just an example of like how we're tied to these norms that aren't always academic, but they're like Christian culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we can't pull ourselves away from defining one simple thing like that.
Yeah.
It's hard to do it. It's hard to do it with agency. Oh, it's hard to do it with resilience. It's hard to do it.
Yeah.
Even methodology. And, and another thing is we're impatient. Native researchers, in my opinion, are impatient.
Oh yeah.
So they don't let things pan out. Like they don't say, let's try and fail. There's this, and granted, it's not always from a good place, right?
Because
there's this need to justify our own existence within academics. So when we do work, there's this anxiety that comes with it, that I got to do it. I got to be good right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't allow ourselves to fail. So like when look at TEK, our Indigenous research methodology, we like came out of the gate saying this is what it is, instead of coming out of the gate saying this is what we propose. I want people to try it, give us feedback and say this doesn't work, this doesn't work. Yeah. And from that we build on.
Yeah.
But instead we come out and we're kind of like, I don't know, it's got to be right now. So that also
we've got to have the answers.
Yeah. That's so the that feeling. Also means those terms, we don't challenge them.
Yeah.
We're afraid to challenge them.
Yeah. Agreed. And even when you were talking, even that idea of what it is to mean, the idea of owning something, when we mm-hmm. talk about that, even that one's a bit loose, because, I mean, we can talk about owning of material things, but when we say, you know, success is about the things that you own, that could be taken in the wrong direction. But it also means sort of the things that you own, like your traits, those kind of things. So it's just like those, those little inflection points in these writings, it just throws me way off, because it's undefined. Mm-hmm. And to define these things, it seems like it, like you said, it takes time. Like somebody needs to just write a whole paper on this whole mess we put ourselves in with thinking that elders are the top of the pyramid. That they hold all the knowledge, they hold all the ability to transmit knowledge. That's kind of a crazy thought. And it's not isolated to just Indigenous communities. It happens in other communities as well, other cultural groups where there's this transference of responsibility to old people that they ought to know all these things. I don't know what that phenomenon is, why these become icons in a community for some reason. I don't know why and where that comes from. You mentioned it one time in a previous podcast, like there's a religious foundation to that. But I don't know. So that's the deal. I think that's the deal. And this is where I get hung up. When I start writing anything, I find myself spending far too much time trying to lay a foundation for what I mean. And
yeah,
then I exceed word count and I didn't get to the point. I never get to the point because I'm just trying to describe, like in this latest piece I'm trying to write, I'm trying to dispel this myth that there's this equality among all things. Like there's like we live in equality with the landscape. And I don't necessarily think that's true, because In all of humanity, there's certain things that we need and use more than other things. And we're not going to really remark on these other things in the landscape as we do some other things. There's a preference.
Yeah, man. Water is more important than prickly pear.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no arguing that.
Yeah. And maybe it's semantics with how you state things. But to think that we walk around treating everything equally seems misguided. So that's just one example.
Well, it's also the fact. We got to go with fact.
Yeah.
So here's another one of my issues with native research.
Yeah.
Is we talk about things, even though we don't use romantic terminology sometimes.
Yeah.
It's an idealistic view of our own beliefs, right?
Right.
And then we also don't look at fact right now. So for example, you said there's this idea of equality in theory with Native people, especially when it comes to academic research, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the fact is we don't live that way.
No. No, we don't.
We don't.
No. Uh-uh.
And does that make us less Indian, more Indian, whatever? That's not even the argument. It's like staying within the facts of things.
Yeah.
Right. We have to be factual.
We have
about
to
how we do our research. Now we can talk about like something 300 years ago and say, but even then, no, that's not the way we function. Otherwise, sacred site wouldn't exist. Otherwise, hierarchy wouldn't exist. Otherwise, we understand that things are gauged differently.
Yeah.
We know that things are more powerful. So even if we look at from a religion point of view, like from the crows,
yeah,
an otter, right? Look at an otter.
Okay.
It can live on land and in water.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not the same as us.
It's not. It's not.
It's not. So I'm not looking at, oh, the otter is my brother.
That's not your brother. I'm sorry. You ain't got a tail or fur or live in the water.
I can't live in the water, man.
You can.
But that's also what makes it special to me. That's why it's revered in a different sense, right?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
You and me, we can't live in the sky and live on the ground.
No.
No. But an eagle can, a hawk can, a magpie can.
Yeah.
We don't have that ability.
Yeah.
A turtle, for as slow as it is, can live both in the water and on land.
Yeah.
We cannot do that no matter how hard we try. So even within our own beliefs, if we're looking at it, we know that there's a hierarchy. There's things that are different, held in different ways.
Yeah.
But yet, as soon as it comes to research or talking to non-tribal audiences, we flip it.
God, yeah.
We flip it and we say everything is sacred.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why we do that. Because we know damn well within our own beliefs, it's not that way.
Yeah.
It's not that way at all.
Yeah.
You look at 200 years ago, a man that doesn't own any horses is not looked at as a man that has 100 horses. That's a fact.
It's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah. God darn it. And so this is another one along those same lines is the one you said about animals are our brothers and those kind of things. And this is the one you hear a lot too, is we watch and we learn from the animals. You know, they're our teachers. And I'm thinking, well, you know, a black bear will go find the den of a grizzly
and eat its babies.
And go rip its babies out of the den and eat the baby. And animals steal from each other all the time. You know, that's just, they're surviving, man. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm thinking of teaching in the wrong way, teaching us what not to do, but then also teaching us what to do. I don't know. I think
it's situational.
Yeah,
I don't think it's like this cross the board thing where we say, oh, we learn from the animals. Yeah, sometimes we ain't messing with the animals though.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're not.
So
like
so
this horse.
Yeah.
Let's look at the horse.
Okay.
The horse is a relatively new addition to tribal people.
Yeah.
Man,
very new.
I've heard people argue that. I've heard people say, no, there was a prehistoric horse. There's one. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But the fact that we started riding them is fairly recent. And it's actually, the argument should be flipped. We should say that shows how badass we are. We were able to take a foreign idea and implement it into an already existing culture.
Yeah.
And make it the thing we're known as.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Yeah. Show me.
You know, show me. And so then prior to that, though, we killed horses. There's stories of trying to eat horses and sure. eating horses.
Sure.
Now, if you were to say like they ate a horse, they're like, no, dude, come on. People are opportunistic, man. We're creatures of convenience. You mean to tell me that the first time they saw a horse that they're like, we're going to ride that thing? Then why didn't they do it with an elk or a moose? No, I would like
pull some elf and ride a moose.
It's too much for me sometimes. So like when I go to these get togethers with other academics or even like people that work in the tribal relations world.
Yeah.
The whole bridging the divide thing.
Yeah.
I see them perpetuating so much of this misunderstanding, misnomers of who we are as mm-hmm. people. Yeah. In fact, I would say they're overcomplicating it. We're a lot more simple than that.
Oh, yeah.
We've somehow, these whole bridging the divide people, diversity trainings, tribal relations trainings, I feel like they cause more of a divide than they actually do unify people.
I agree.
Don't look at Sean Dean in the eyes.
Don't look. When you go into this room, these Indians won't look you in the eye. It's a sign of respect.
Meanwhile, every one of them staring at the person talking to them.
Oh man. Yeah. I don't know. Yep. It's a problem. And that's what happens in literature. And I think some of it's probably maybe unintended because of the constraints of writing. So when I think of someone saying, well, the animals are our teachers, I can sort of, you know, accept that in a certain way. But when it's cast as this ultra positive thing, like these animals are teaching us these good qualities that we need to have, then I think, no, that doesn't add up at all. And then the other thing, you know, the plants are our caretakers, or we're the caretakers of the plants. And then, oh my God, it gets somewhat laborious to try to resolve who's taking care of who.
We're stewards of the land.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, we've failed.
We have failed. Yeah. We're failing today, right now.
And that's the thing is, so if someone listens to us and says like, man, these guys are like kind of downers, it's not that we're downers, it's that I think we could actually fix some of these problems but we have to acknowledge them first. Yeah. Man, we have a hard time with that.
Yeah, we do.
But that's not just a tribal thing. Of course, we know that's everywhere, but I also know that's an academic thing. In academics, there's this, especially in the social sciences and like the non-hard science. So like in chemistry, like, you know, when you do something wrong, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a reaction, literally. a quantitative reaction that says, no, you messed up wrong. And there's a physical reaction. So
yeah,
it's hard to do that in qualitative sciences, right?
Yeah.
So that means that we can kind of work within that field to the point where it can be manipulated.
Right.
Relatively easy.
Right.
And I know because I've done it. I've done it on purpose.
Yeah.
Just messing around with people. I say, oh, this, and this, and blah, 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 because of this reason. They're like, oh my God. I'm like, dude, how do you know? I just made it up. Like, how do you, I mean?
Yeah. That's the uncited source sort of thing, you know, or the vaguely cited source, you know. An elder once told me, then you could fill in the blank with any sort of anything that was on your mind that you wanted to.
Because of woke culture, they're afraid to say like, for real? Like, you know what I mean? Well,
All this wind means the earth is dying. How does that work?
And that's another thing, dude. The earth's not dying. No, it'll get rid of us.
Oh yeah. We're dying.
Yeah, we assume because it's changing that it's dying. Dude, it's working to get rid of us. The earth's gonna be just fine.
So the earth's not crying because we're doing all this damage. No cry, no tears.
Mother earth, in fact, the earth is just gonna say, all right, it's time to get rid of these guys.
Yeah, where's a meteor when we need one?
Oh man, I started watching that movie, Don't Look Up.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that's a cool one.
That is a good one.
Yeah, and there's a part in there where the whole movie is really based around this premise of an asteroid, but nobody's listening to them, you know.
Yeah.
They're more worried about like this political stuff. It's there's definitely a message in there that they're trying to get across, but it's funny. It's a funny movie.
Yeah, I watched it.
But anyway, so all here's the thing.
Okay,
here's my question.
Okay,
based on everything we just said, should we, let's not even publish with them, let's just do an independent publication. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean,
let's do some grassroots manifesto stuff, man. I just come up with some. We'll come up with our own format and we'll put it out, man. We'll just make the PDF, put it on our Facebook, on our website.
Okay.
We'll say, just take it, use it,
read it, use it, criticize it.
Who's our peers? Who's our peer review?
Yeah, that ought to be our respective communities from whatever sort of stance we're
exactly
writing on.
Man,
that ought to be, yeah, ought to be, it could be our listeners, it could be, and you know what, and it ought to be criticized, it ought to be nitpicked and criticized. That's the only way.
Beat up
and
it ain't gonna happen until we put something out. That's the thing though.
Yeah,
it's like we haven't put nothing out. We keep saying this stuff, but let's put some out and let somebody beat it up, man.
Yeah, I'm down, let's do it. What are we gonna do?
We're all related. Let's call it tobacco down, knowledge up.
Are you serious?
Let's call it
tobacco down.
Let's call it the mountains have spoke to me and this is what it said. What would you call it?
I'd call it an elder once told me, an anthology.
you know what I would call it? I'd call it mama said.
Well, whatever we call it.
What? An anthology of indigenous thought provoked by indigenous knowledge through indigenous life ways.
Yeah, you're hitting it all. Or, or the title has to be, I'll start with R's, series of R's.
Oh,
yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, okay.
Let's hear it.
Let's hear it. Okay. Let's see. Resiliency. Rascalism.
Rascalianism. Rascalianism.
Ruggedness. And realism. An anthology of thoughts by tribal research specialists.
How about we just call it tribal research specialists, the paper.
Oh, God. Yeah, that sounds awesome. I don't know, man. But this is what I think the direction would have to go. We'd have to start with one of these topics and then sort of flesh it out. Or one of these constructs that often gets... well, I don't even know if we could start there because that's huge. Because folks always talk about indigenous knowledge systems. But under that umbrella of things is a vast amount of ideas. So even just dividing up what knowledge is and what knowledge isn't, that's a huge philosophical task. Because first of all, you want to know, well, okay, let's pretend somebody wrote this piece and said, you know, this is, you know, we're calling for indigenous knowledge in soil conservation. Okay, so what type of knowledge are you talking about? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And in from what era are you planning on drawing this knowledge from? Is this past knowledge? Is this current knowledge? Which one? I don't know. Because I don't know. I question whether we're even producing new indigenous knowledge that seems like the knowledge that we pretend or romanticize to have today. And I don't know if we're doing that. Certainly there's a lot of indigenous people and scholars. What? Okay, what?
We're just the hipsters of academics. Like our we're just hipsters. We're just bringing up concepts that have already existed.
Yeah.
They're there. In fact, they never really went away. It's just the the certain audience ignored them.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another thing. We're starting to sound real arrogant.
We are, yeah. And whiny. We're starting to sound pretty whiny.
I know.
And here's the thing.
We're not.
And here's the thing.
I know, dude. I got busted ourselves.
Oh, and man, furthermore. Whiny.
So
we're so whiny today.
We're not talking about anything that people have not talked about. A lot of there have been a lot of researchers and even just now with content producers through social media, they've posed all these questions.
Yeah.
We're not saying anything because trust me, I'm not that smart.
Okay. All right.
And so I'm not, these ideas didn't fall from the sky and hit me in the head like this, that I've heard them, I've seen them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're out there.
Yeah.
It's just for some reason, academics has drifted so far and land management professionals have drifted so far.
It seems as if
it seems, well, yeah.
I mean, okay. Yeah. Be fair.
But at the same time, there's people doing good work out there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
There's people doing great work out there, and not all of them are native people.
Right. Yeah.
Let's go back to when you and I both worked at SKC. Mm-hmm. There's the program I taught in tribal historic preservation.
Right.
Although it needs a lot of it needs work, just as any program does.
Right.
It was born out of the idea of a non-Indian guy.
Yeah.
From the East Coast.
Yeah. And got it going.
He got it going based off of thoughts he had and ideas and experiences he put together, and he built a pretty amazing program. Like any academic program, it's in its infancy. So it takes, it's going to take years for it to really be what it is. So I can't work in tribal historic preservation at SKC and then act like I'm the first one to come up with all these concepts. Like, dude, I'm in the program. I'm in a program somebody came up with, you know? You know what I mean?
Man. Yeah.
So we got to be careful. We're getting out of hand here.
I know. I just getting way out of hand. Yeah. So this is what I would hate to do, is to repeat sort of explanations of failures. I'd hate to repeat explanations of how we're not doing something right, but I'd rather be a process to where we're helping to reconfigure or redefine or highlight where things are working.
I don't even think, but in a weird way, I don't think we even need to make it that hard.
No, I don't think
we just need to do it. We just need to show one example,
mm-hmm.
document our method of doing things, its interpretation, and show the data.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
we don't need to do this criticism of what's exists say, no, we don't. Because, man, even though that's
what we've been doing for the last hour,
well, and that's what we've been doing for 50 episodes. But I'm talking about for the paper. For okay. The paper.
All right.
Yeah. For the paper, we don't need to get caught up in this idea of proving anyone wrong.
Yeah.
We just have to do our work and then put it side by side and say, you guys pick. You pick the one you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you want to use our stuff, cool. You're welcome to it. If you don't, then don't complain to me when your stuff sucks. Just kidding.
Yeah. That's the work that's been done. It seems like it's always trying to prove itself against something that it don't need to prove itself against. Mm-mm. And that's why it seems sort of flimsy in a way. And it's,
hey, actually, I got an example.
Okay.
That's how we think.
What you got?
That's how we think, right?
Yeah.
So a couple years ago, we received a grant to do some battlefield archaeology through the American Battlefield Protection Program.
Okay.
And this whole thing was born out of a previous works on this battlefield called the Arrow Creek Battle Site near Pryor.
Yeah.
And it's a battle that a lot of Crows know about. It's an awesome story.
Yeah.
I got the late Elias goes ahead and a nonprofit called R Montana and
along with some
other professors got together and they put together this gigantic document on as close to a complete oral history and mapping of this battle. But at the end, they say this is like where you could do more work, right?
Yeah.
And I had heard some stories from different Crow people that kind of filled in some gaps that I didn't see in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when we wrote the grant, got the grant, we started doing the work.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, oh, Aaron's doing a continuation of a previous project, people wanted to put it side by side and say, Aaron's competing with this document.
Oh.
And it was like, why did you even go there?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not. I'm actually doing the very thing they said to do at the end. If you read it, Elias says, this is what needs to be done next. These are the steps that can go next.
Yeah.
And that's all we did was take that one idea and we went for it, you know?
Yeah.
But instead, there's this weird competition that happens. They say, oh, Aaron's doing a Arrow Creek battle thing. Well, Elias already did that. That's already done.
Yeah. And he must be trying to compete.
Yeah.
He must be.
And I'm like,
going to know more than him. He's going to be better than him.
Yeah, man. Like, there's a lot of untapped knowledge about that battle, as there are many battles, but there's also some other things that I feel like they missed. That's not a diss on them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't have known those gaps if they didn't do the work.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I think that, I guess that's the approach with this kind of the scholarship that's out there on Indigenous matters that we've been talking about. We've been kind of bashing on it, but I'd respect it, man. I respect someone who can write, you know, 15 pages of text and try to describe something that's pretty, pretty abstract. I wouldn't say that, you know, some have done a great job, but at least they did.
Some of it's garbage, though.
Some of it is garbage. Yeah, it honestly is.
Some of it's garbage, but that's also the nature of such a young field.
Yeah. It's like that. Like what you said in the one episode with the Nakoa, you get that nod for that one good song that you made. Then you're allowed 10 trash songs after that, you know?
Yeah. I actually listened to that podcast. That was one of the funner podcasts I've listened to, man. Like, it was like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing people always say. They're like, man, it's cool that you guys talk about music, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, for one, it's one of the few topics I feel comfortable. Right. Like with my own personal knowledge, I feel comfortable talking about it. If you were to sit here and talk about hydrology, nah. For one, that would be super boring, dude.
Well, I mean, certain audiences appreciate a good hydrological chat. I don't know about ours, though.
No. Okay, no. So here, did we come up with anything? Are we gonna attempt to write an abstract through this little thing?
You know what? I wouldn't mind trying it out.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind trying it out. We'd have to come up with the thought and an idea, but it seems fitting for the call. You know, they want something new, refreshing, I guess. That's kind of what the call seemed to be for. So we just have to pick sort of something to latch onto and beat it up a bit, or, you know, beat our heads to try to figure out how we would describe something in the essence of what you're talking about, or in the let's do it. And we'll stick.
Says a special issue of American Indian Culture and Research Journal.
Yeah.
I'm going to read the first couple lines, right?
Okay.
To open a space for reclaiming and rewriting Indigenous histories, science, and experiences from an Indigenous perspective.
Yeah.
She seeks, which it's Dr. Paulette Steves.
Correct. Steves.
Steves, yeah. Guest editor. Mm-hmm. Seeks essays that discuss Indigenous knowledge, mm-hmm, and research on archaeology, anthropology, culture, environmental studies, and justice. This collection would include critiques on Western discussion, the Center for Indigenous Knowledge Making History, but I guess pretty broad, to be honest. That's a pretty broad topic. I think we're as qualified as anyone to talk about this stuff.
Sure.
I even proposed to you a title and you laughed at it.
Well, I didn't know if he's being serious. I can't tell when you're serious or not.
What? There's
Down, knowledge up? Is that what you said?
No. It's a practitioner's view of Indigenous research on land and language.
I like that. Yeah. But I would.
It's simple.
I do like that. But I would probably just choose one or the other, language.
Yeah, but we're gonna use language in it. We're gonna talk about land.
Okay.
Clickbait.
Okay.
I mean, we're not gonna get into a linguistic study of things. Yeah. It's just
Yeah. That's why I thought drop the language, just focus on land. We'll see. We'll see.
Didn't you say that?
Because it's in a text. I'm not gonna talk all that.
No. You said you texted me.
What'd I say?
Two worlds, an Indigenous guide to bullshitting.
Living in two worlds or two worlds. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We need that one too. We need to write that one too. That one's already been written. I mean, yeah, pick up a lot of text. You see that one. No, I like that. Let's stick with that. We're going to build an abstract off of that. So this is a good time for listeners to kind of maybe chime in on what their thoughts are on that. Because I'd be curious to know. Like you said,
what
peer-reviewed.
Yeah. Call to action.
Call to action.
What should mobilize, we write about?
Mobilize the tribal research specialist audience. We're mobilizing. We're going to crank this out. See what happens.
We're going to uncolonize mobilization. How long we've been doing this? How long we've been going right now?
Hour and a half.
Dude, let's stop.
Let's wrap. We'll say maybe.
We don't have a schedule. Like people, maybe we don't keep a schedule on recording. Like I was just on my way back from that powwow, pulling into Burger King. I called you and I said, hey, blah, blah, blah. I just started talking smack and I said, you want to record tonight? And then you said, yeah.
Let's get this smack on record.
Well, because it was almost like turning into that discussion. See, that's the thing with you and I. Yeah. This podcast has now ruined our ability to just have conversations.
We can't do it, man.
We can't because we start talking and we'll be like, should we get this down?
Let's not go any further. Let's get a recorder.
We're like rappers.
Hey, you know what? Yeah.
We start a flow, then we got to lay that track down.
This was another thought I had. Maybe your listeners can pipe in on. We should do some live recordings. You know, I was contemplating getting a small recorder with some mics to do some live podcasting. What do you think about that?
I'm down for whatever, because dude, I don't censor anything I say.
Yeah,
I know you do some editing, but I know you don't do a whole lot. Like you don't, you mainly cut out like dead time, right? Is what you're telling me.
Cut dead time.
Or like weird, awkward little phrasing.
Some awkward phrasing. I used to censor.
You're not killing content.
Yeah. I used to censor curse words, but I just stopped. That wasn't worth it.
Well, and I'm doing my best to not cuss.
No, you can just let it out, man. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Yeah, live podcast.
So no, well, there was one episode where I said a whole bunch.
You did, and I think I'll just let them all go. Yeah, live podcasting. I've been to a couple places, conferences. I thought, this would be a good place to maybe. And this was my thought: to catch an interview with somebody who I thought was interesting, and then us talk about that interview. What do you think about that?
Yeah, let's do it. We got to go to a conference though together.
Yeah, well, I was talking about, you know, on an occasion where I'm at a conference where we're not both there, I interview somebody who seems that has an interesting perspective, and then the podcast is us talking about that interview.
No, dude, you know what we should do?
What is it?
Dude, we should do conference reviews.
Dude, we should. That's a good one. That's what we need sponsors. We need a sponsor for that, though. Dude,
send us to 2-3 conferences a year.
Yeah.
And our job is just.
Yeah. Yeah. We go to the sessions. We get the invocation, the keynote. We hit the plenaries. We can even review the banquet.
Mm-hmm.
Review the banquet.
Dude.
Registration process.
And give me a conference social hour. You give me a conference social hour, dude, I'll shred it.
This would be the kind of view that would need a video as well to accompany some of our thoughts. Because, you know, the conference native, we need something to regulate that, man. We need some little bit of shame thrown in. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't know.
Yeah, I grew up in it. We grew up on the res, dude. You're getting shamed. You do something dumb.
You show up to school with a beret. You're getting it.
Oh, dude. Yeah. And you dare not change your style.
Oh, no. No, no.
Oh, dude.
No. No style.
You change your style overnight? Yeah. You're getting. You're done, dude.
That's done. You're done.
You're done, dude.
Man, yeah, okay, so that's the call. We need a sponsor. Send us off to 2-3 conferences. We'll give you the most honest review you're gonna get from the perspective of tribal research specialists. Tell your friends, tell your rich benefactors,
else that has a podcast.
Yeah.
You guys, shout us out or we'll be guests on your podcast, whatever. Yeah. If you listen to us, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, we'll be guests. Dude,
we'll do side by side.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to get the word out. Yeah.
We want to get the word out.
Let's do it. Okay. We're done with this one, though. We are, we're done. All right.
Yeah. Peace. Thanks, man.
We're done. Yep. Talk to you soon. Okay.